Last week, Vermont became the first state in the country to require special labels for foods made with genetically modified ingredients. But even as lawmakers enact new GMO regulations, the state's agriculture sector is wholeheartedly embracing the use of GMO crops. And a new report suggests the use of herbicides has also gone up drastically as a result. BPR's Peter Hirschfeld has more.
The corn is already thigh-high at this postcard-perfect farm in Washington County. The crop's vitality is due in part to routine herbicide treatments, like the one it's getting right now from a red tractor driving through rows of deep green stalks.
These guys may be spraying glyphosate now. I'm not sure exactly what they're spraying.
That's Will Allen, an organic farmer, activist, and author of a report that raises new concerns about genetically modified corn. Vermont is one of the few states that tracks herbicide usage.
And so we figured, well, shoot, while we've got the data, let's take a look at it. When we did, we were shocked, really.
Allen says herbicide use has nearly doubled from 2002 to 2012, and he says it's no coincidence that the increase came during a time period when almost all the state's corn growers switched from conventional seeds to GMOs.
And we feel like that paradigm, one, is hurting farmers, it's hurting farm workers, and it's trashing the environment and probably, you know, is contaminating products.
Over at Sprague Farm in Brookfield, the view on GMO corn is decidedly different. Owner Keith Sprague happily welcomes a visitor to his concrete-floored freestall barn, where fans are at a constant whir to keep temperatures comfortable for its occupants.
And we're standing in the feed bunk area, looking at approximately 600 milking cows in a nice, cool, friendly environment.
Sprague, whose family began farming this land 152 years ago, has converted his corn crop entirely to GMOs. Not only is he using less herbicides as a result, Sprague says the hardiness of the GMO corn has allowed him to adopt what's known as a no-till growing system.
We have tremendous worm activity in our soils. Our organic matter is way higher than anybody that tills.
Sprague says healthier soil means less erosion, less runoff, and less toxic substances leaching from fields into nearby rivers.
We're able to produce our milk product with less environmental damage done because of GMO corn.
Will Allen, the author of the report, isn't buying it. But he doesn't blame farmers like Keith Sprague for the alleged problem. Rather, he says it's the buyers of their product, namely Ben & Jerry's and Cabot Cheese, that need to alter farming practices by asking farmers to produce an organic product. When it comes to herbicides, it's the atrazine that Allen is concerned about most. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, there may be a link between atrazine use and some types of cancer. And it's a proven endocrine disruptor, which means it can impair animals' ability to reproduce. Allen says use of atrazine went from 71,000 pounds in 2002 to 85,000 pounds in 2012. And the use of metolachlor, a suspected endocrine disruptor, jumped sixfold from 25,000 pounds in 2002 to more than 150,000 pounds in 2012. Those numbers form the basis of Allen's pitch to Ben & Jerry's and Cabot.
And that's what we're trying to push to them, say, look, you know, you can help these dairymen switch over to organic.
Carrie Jaguer is the chief of the agrochemical management section at the Vermont Agency of Agriculture. Jaguer says he appreciates Will Allen's dogged pursuit to reform agriculture practices.
Will Allen is a brilliant guy. He's passionate, and I enjoy having conversations with him. But if you look at the longer-term trends and talk with farmers about why they're choosing what they're choosing, the data doesn't support the theory, at least here in Vermont.
Jaguer says Allen has cherry-picked data to game the results of his analysis. If you track numbers from 1999 to 2013, for example, atrazine use is down by 40%, despite the conversion to GMO crops. And if you compare metolachlor use in 2008 to metolachlor use in 2013, you'll see it's down by nearly half, despite the fact that GMO corn acreage jumped by about 50% over the same time period. State data indicates that farmers actually use less herbicide in 2013 than they did 15 years prior. And while Vermont tends to see volatile year-to-year jumps in usage, herbicide use peaked in 2013, for example, Jaguer says the use of GMO crops isn't a leading factor in those fluctuations. No matter how you crunch the data, the fact remains that farmers applied 180,000 pounds of herbicide to Vermont fields in 2013. It's toxic stuff by any measure, and Allen says it needs to go.
That's an inherently bad thing. I mean, that we're dumping all that into our water and that it's going into our milk. And, you know, what is really in the milk is the next question you want to ask yourself, right? What is in the ice cream?
Keith Sprague and other conventional dairy farmers acknowledge that the chemicals applied to their fields are potentially harmful. But Sprague says they stand by the safety of their practices and the integrity of their environmental stewardship.
We're moving forward in a sustainable, healthy way.
Sprague, like other dairy farmers, says he wouldn't do anything to poison the land that he needs to grow his crops. For VPR News, I'm Peter Hirschfeld.